Welcome to the Art Talk podcast, where I tell the stories of art, artists, and interview people in the arts. I am Karin Merks, your host, and I am an artist, art historian, teacher, and mentor. Okay, listeners, this is episode 71 of Art Talk, and today I have another conversation with academic and author Elizabeth Amizu. And we focus on her book, The Dangerous Philosophies of Michael Jackson, His Music, His Persona, and His Artistic Afterlife. It was published 7 years ago, and we celebrate that incredible milestone. So what is The Dangerous Philosophies? The Dangerous Philosophies of Michael Jackson is a book that covers Michael Jackson's art through his life from various perspectives. And the book is a portrait of the multifaceted artist Michael Jackson, divided into three parts: artist life, life as art, and art beyond life. It covers Michael Jackson's entire career. If anything, this book shows that Michael Jackson was an artist and entertainer, and his work needs to be researched. In The Dangerous Philosophies, you will find connections to a wide variety of subjects, and the author not only invites you to continue research with a specific subject, but also gives lots of points and angles to start your own research. And I would quickly add to it, also for artists and art historians, there's a lot to explore. Would you agree?
Yes, definitely.
Okay. Welcome, Liz. I'm really very honored that you're with me again.
You're very welcome, Karin. Thank you for having me on the show. I love Art Talk. It's great.
Thank you. So let's briefly go into the art of writing about art, because that's another thing. And as an art historian, I know it is daunting. Your book is academic, and you write about an artist, Michael Jackson, and about his art. Now, we have seen many books writing about personal experience, a few academic books that do not really write about the art itself. Some of them use Michael Jackson to make a point on a topic that is more wide, universal. Do you have some idea why that could be? And what makes it so inspiring for you to write about the art of one of the biggest artists that danced this earth?
Yeah, that's a really, really powerful question. It's really, really interesting. One of the things you asked me was, you know, why do I think people generally don't write about Michael Jackson's art? And I think it's because there's a lot of like smoke and mirrors. There's lots of smoke, like a smoke, it's almost like a smoke screen of tabloid ephemera, which was massively pervasive in his lifetime, and which is still in like endemic today, which is still there today. And it shifted the focus away from Michael Jackson's art to his personal life and to conjecture and speculation around his personal life. And the art kind of became secondary. And then there was a move not to embrace Michael Jackson in academia. There was a strong movement to almost reject him from academia. Mm-hmm. So he was seen, there were lots of excuses given for this. Oh, he was too commercial to be recognized academically. Or he was not an intelligent person. He was just an intuitive person. Those are different excuses that people kind of give. And what happened was that there was a swift backlash against Michael Jackson because he wielded so much soft power. He wielded so much influence. Mm-hmm. on the popular culture, on the popular mentality of the nation, and he had a global reach which was also impacting. And because of those reasons, I think that it's been a really long, hard slog to try and get Michael Jackson recognized in academia. And it wasn't until he died that a lot of academics started turning their attention to him.
Yep.
I wrote something in The Dangerous Philosophies called A Critical Survey of Michael Jackson Studies. And in it, I discuss a range of articles that were written before Michael Jackson passed away And there's very few of them. There's only so many. If you'd like to share that document with your listeners, it's available on for free, the visual critical survey.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a lot of writing has taken place between 2009 and 2016. However, there was a strong sense that Michael Jackson wasn't embraced academically at all. He was kind of ignored, as if. And then there was also the sense for me that people were still waiting to see what Michael Jackson had to come up with, because he always surprised like the global audience that he had with something new, something spectacular. And there's a sense that writing about what he did is an argument that there's an end to it, that this is the end of it. So this is the completion of it. So now we can start writing about it. So I find that there's lots of different reasons why we can speculate that Michael Jackson wasn't embraced in academia, but thank goodness, 7 years ago, The Dangerous Philosophies was published, and hopefully there'll be many more books like it, embracing Michael Jackson's art. And you talked to me a little bit about writing about art.
Mm-hmm.
And I think as an artist myself, that reflectivity or reflection, the reflective zone is very, very important. It's very powerful. I'm constantly, so I write novels. I've written a range of novels, Sacerdos, Arcane Rising, Water Blood, Disequilibrium, Gifted Blood, Ripe Earth, and a collection of short stories called Gild Your Shadows. My latest book was called The Grid, and I'm a novelist. And in that vein, I have to be very, very reflective with my work. I have to edit my work. I have to look at it through a new eyes, new gaze, to try and see it through the audience's perspective, try and make sure that the book is people can understand it.
Yeah, definitely.
That's really, really important.
Because
when you're making art, you make it for yourself entirely, and you make it, you know what you mean when you say something in a novel, but not necessarily, an audience might not necessarily know, a reader might not necessarily know what you mean. So you have to look at it in a different perspective. And it's also those different perspectives that helped me so much when it came to writing about Michael Jackson's art. Perspective is everything.
Mm-hmm.
And the looking at different angles to do with art is everything in terms of writing about art. You look at it in a different way, from a different perspective, from a different angle, and then you comment on what you see. And that looking, that gazing, that watching of the work is really paramount.
Yeah, I would agree, definitely. And I know your art. I read everything. And it's also what I often say, when you are an artist, you should also be an art historian. Or if you're an art historian, it would be best if you're also an artist, because the two coincide. If you are a musician, to be a musicologist. And one of the things you said is so important, because you read a lot of books also in art history. And I will shortly give a book review about a book that I recently read that is not by an art historian, but with someone who deeply loves art and who can write. And she can translate that and her feeling into that. So a lot of the time you see academic books, also in art history, and a lot of people have a difficulty plowing through the words and the sentences and the text, and what the heck are they meaning? What's the meaning behind this? And that is one of the things that I really love about The Dangerous Philosophies, is that your eloquent writing, your writing is so open. It is so well pronounced, well formulated, but it is so understandable for everyone. Right.
Yeah, the first layer of the writing is all about the research. It's all about the analysis of the work and the deconstruction of the ideas and themes. And that is a really important part of the work. But then the secondary part of the work is all about communicating it, communicating it to an audience, communicating it to a reader. And then the third part is enabling the reader to come continue with their own research. So I was trying to do three things at the same time, which is not easy, but I think that it was successfully accomplished in Dangerous Philosophies.
Absolutely. Otherwise, no publisher would have taken it. And this was an academic publisher who took it. So, yeah, and I know it very well. So let's go on. In your book, you touch upon his life as art. I personally know what that means as an artist. Do you think that the personal experience the artist Michael Jackson had played an important role in his art? And do you see this also with other artists?
I think it's very important to say that no artist creates in a vacuum. So every person who creates art on this planet is influenced by their own experiences. There's no way that you can make art without being influenced by yourself. And then there's also a sense of an excavation of self, an archaeological, seeing oneself as an archaeological dig site, seeing one's past, one's emotions, one's experiences, one's reactions to things as a mind to be excavated for rich ideas and for rich creativity. And so I do think that Michael Jackson's life would have impacted his art, sometimes in a very literal way. So, for example, in the song Childhood, mm-hmm. and sometimes in a very non-literal way, a literary way, mm-hmm. Such as songs like Thriller.
Yeah. His story, I think that's an extensive way of his life converted into art, or not?
I don't think so, no. I think that the direction in which the work took, because History was originally supposed to be a greatest hits album called Decade, and mm-hmm. Michael Jackson was supposed to make produce Decade and produce this album of greatest hits, and he just kind of wanted to do something different. I feel like he really accepted that the greatest hits album is like a seal of on a career, mm-hmm. to sort of say, okay, this is what I've done so far, and this is as good as this is essentially as good as it gets.
And
but
maybe
Michael Jackson
also
didn't want to do that. He didn't want to. He didn't want to say that.
But I thought maybe also commercial, purely. And he's an artist who wants to expand himself.
The Greatest Hits album is, I think it's a staple of music, the music industry. It's not so strongly now in the world of streaming. It's not as strong as it was to release a Greatest Hits album. However, in the world of CDs and vinyl, it was a very, very important part of the production of essentially selling the same thing to fans
in another package.
In another package, yeah. Let's make some more money from this.
And just in between, everything has changed. I mean, you and I, we know what it was to get that album, to get the CD, to get the vinyl, to have it in your hands versus what now is. Let's see on my phone. What are your thoughts about it? What do people miss out
on the
actual art?
Well, I write about it
art?
A lot in Dangerous Philosophy,
exactly.
And I will write about it in future work. Mm-hmm. Michael Jackson transcended the physical to encompass the virtual. And what we have with streaming is we have more of a virtual environment for music consumption and for streaming of music. We have a lot of things that we didn't have before. So we have easy access to interviews with things like YouTube, easy access to interviews. I remember when I used to have to wait for an interview with Michael Jackson to come on the telly, and then I'd have to video record it on a VHS tape. And then I'd watch it back later Whereas now you can instantly access thousands of interviews with an artist, or as many interviews as there are. You have podcasting, you have streaming of music, you have streaming of short films and music videos. So young people and people in general, consumers, are engaging with music. They are engaging with the music and the media production that they love. It's just engaging in new ways. It's not as physical as it was.
No.
It's not as corporeal as it was. It's more insubstantial, but it's just a new way of experiencing it. So the physical device on which they listen to the music is still a physical device.
That's true. But there is another thing, and I had to think about it whilst you were talking. When we knew something would come out, we had to wait before the artist gave it free. That was exciting. And now it's like an instant gratification. Yeah, your phone or whatever you use is a device that you have in your hands. But when it's out, it's out immediately. When I post this podcast later today, it's out. It's out there. You don't have the excitement. Oh, next week then. Or, oh, there was something in that.
There was, but it's a different generation. It's a different generation. It's like saying that because books have become digital, the feeling and the experience of a physical book has